those times where you just sit back and you watch something take place, and you know that the person is just struggling to figure out the answer. And it's kind of comical, but you just can't help but not share with them the answer. And I'll give you the example. So when we were just away, my wife and I, we were in Texas, and I had my mask. I got used to when I left, I would put my mask up here like this, you know. And I remember coming in, and I noticed there was a couple there, and I noticed he had a tattoo of a trident. I'm like, oh, it must be a Mariners fan. Oh, good, we can do the whole, hey, go Hawks and all that. We're from Seattle. Well, I think I may have embarrassed him, because when I walked into the hotel, I suddenly realized I didn't have my mask. So I was looking for my mask. Where's my mask? I was looking. I thought I dropped it. I was checking all my pockets. And the lady sat there and just watched me. She said, are you looking for your mask? I said, yeah. She goes, it's on your arm. And I was like, yeah, I knew that. But it was one of those things. She couldn't help but not tell me, it's right there. It's right in front of you. And you know, sometimes things are right in front of us and we don't really see it. And so today I just want to take an opportunity as we enter into this time of the Passover week, and we think about this week. Just, I wanted to think about this word today, purpose. There's been books written about having a life that was driven by purpose. And when we think about the word purpose today, I just want you to see what this the definition says about purpose. It says that the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. So when we think about our walk with Christ, we think about our life with Christ. What's our purpose today? In Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus quotes here from the book of Isaiah. And he says this, he says, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he has sent me to proclaim and release the captives, and to recover sight to the blind, and set those who are oppressed free, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Pastor Emmett started by, he said, you know, one of the greatest announcements that we have today is that you're part of the body of Christ. Second only to that was the announcement the morning that said, he is not here, for he is risen, just as he has said. That was a purpose. Jesus had a purpose today. Many people say, well, Jesus came to heal the sick and to preach and to... Jesus came to reveal the Father. That was his purpose. And when we think about a purpose today, many times we have a goal. How many people have ever had a goal? You set a goal and you go after it, and then what happens? Something derails you. And then somehow that purpose, we tell ourselves, well, that must not have been my real purpose. And now I changed my purpose. But Jesus' purpose was to come and to die. That was his purpose. And in the midst of that, to set the captives free. And in the midst of that, to give sight to the blind. And in the midst of that, to preach the favorable year of the Lord to those that were poor in spirit, those that needed to hear it. How about us today? Is our purpose the same thing? To start out to die? To die to self? And in the midst of dying to self, what do I have the opportunity to reveal? Giving sight to the blind. Because I was given sight in dying. I was able to see something I couldn't see before. Because suddenly, purpose was all about accomplishment. See, purpose isn't about accomplishment. Purpose is about obedience to a call. Many times, you know, in our lives, the big buzzword is like, go find yourself. Find your purpose in life. Jesus is pretty clear. As I sat yesterday in our hotel room before we left to come back from vacation, I watched the memorial service for Martine. Those of you who knew Martine, what a gentle giant he was. Just a man with a heart after God. But he had a purpose, and he lived it out uniquely. One of the beauties about the body of Christ is that we're members in particular, which means that God has given us all a unique purpose with a common call. I don't have to be like Pastor Emmett. And thank God he doesn't have to be like me. That would be a problem. And my son can follow the call of God, but he doesn't have to be like his dad. Because there's a purpose there. It has nothing to do with accomplishment. I remember being in San Diego with Pastor Mitch, and we had years of knocking. Man, we must have knocked on 10,000 doors. Still had a few handful of people. I remember we prayed one night, and just we were studying together, and he said, what is it? What can we do differently? What is it? What is it? And I remember that the Holy Spirit just gave me the verse where Paul shares, it's required of a servant to be found faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to a call. Faithful to a purpose. You think about anybody ever seen the rubber bands, you know, the really big rubber bands? Those rubber bands, you know, they're really cool because if you're a kid, they're really cool. But really, they can get misplaced because they really have no purpose unless they're first stretched. And once they are stretched, the power and the strength of the purpose of that rubber band becomes very clear, and that is to hold things together. And the purpose of our lives is to have the Spirit of God within us as we follow the Word of God and we watch things revealed to us on a daily basis. And what happens when we begin to be stretched? The Spirit of God comes in and begins to hold things together. And I realize my purpose in that place. Throughout the Word of God, there were people that had a purpose. That on the surface, if you looked at, well, let's look at accomplishment, or let's look at goals, they really didn't match up with any purpose. What you think about in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Think about her. What was her purpose? What was her purpose? She had a messed up life. And yet, she had a testimony at the end of that day that said this, come see a man. How about us? Maybe that's our purpose today, that our sole purpose in life is that we would be able to say to somebody, come see a man. Come hear about a word that told me all about my life. Come and see a man that came and he opened my eyes and he had my ears that I couldn't hear. And it gives me the opportunity to say, I have purpose now. How about in Mark chapter 12, verse 42, Jesus gives us this example about a widow that didn't have anything. Just had two pence, two mites. What was her purpose? Was her purpose to be a topic for every offering that's done in churches across the world? Or was it simply her purpose was to do all she could? And to give us an example that in life, And in walking with God, as we see the days, you know, think about the disciples. They were with him all the way to the end. And then suddenly it was over for them. In their sight, it was over. And seemingly their purpose was lost. It's not here anymore. It's not right in front of me anymore. And when the pandemic hit last year, one of the things that was really impressed upon me was everybody was saying, well, we can't, and we can't, and we can't, and we can't do this, but we can't do that. And it impressed upon me, what can you do? What can you do? Well, I have to work a job, and so I can't work at the church, and I can't go soul winning every day of the week. What can you do? See, a purpose is something that is unwavered by the things around me. Jesus said that he said, I have set my face towards Jerusalem. Why? Because I knew my purpose. She did what she could without comparison. Purpose doesn't live in comparison today. The world wants you to compare yourself with the person, the Joneses or the Millers or whoever lives next door to you. That widow said, look, it doesn't matter what they gave. I'm doing what I can. It's another example of purpose we have. Mary, Pastor just spoke recently in John chapter 12 when Mary came in with the alabaster box, and she broke that box, and she poured it out to anoint him. There's many people that said, oh, you have just blown the purpose of that box. Judas was like, you could have given that to the poor. You've ruined the purpose of the day. But what was her purpose? It was to simply worship. And in our walk with God, many times we get so skewed by outward pressures and outward circumstance that we forget that our purpose in a moment in time is to worship, just to worship, just to be thankful, just to enter into a place that says, look, I deserve nothing. And yet, the verse in that song where it says, you saw the depths of my heart and you loved me even so. The purpose. In Job chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, and then again in 12:25, Job speaks there of people who grope at the noonday and they can't find anything. It's noon. It's high. It's sun. By the way, I tell you what, I got up this morning. We just spent 9 days in the state of Texas, and got up this morning and I felt like I was in the Wizard of Oz, and I said to my wife, honey, we're not in Texas anymore. It was cold here. In the noonday, right? High noon. Plenty of light. And yet, those scripture says that they grope because they can't find it. People looking for purpose and they can't find it. Do you know why people can't find their purpose today? Because they're trying to find it outside of Jesus Christ. Now that sounds like a cliche that is in hundreds of Christian books. But the woman at the well thought her purpose was just to be abused by men and to be ostracized by society. But then a day where she could say, come see a man. One reason we lack purpose is we want to engage in a visitation from the Holy Spirit, from Jesus. I want you to think with me, if you would, turn with me to John chapter 15. And I want you to think about the difference between visitation and habitation. Visitation and habitation. In John chapter 15, verse 4, He says this, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches, and he who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away, and the branch dies and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done. For my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See, we look for purpose, and yet we want a visitation from God, but not a habitation from God. I want to come in on Sunday, because this is time. Let's get a visitation from God. Let's have some church up in here. How many times by Monday, midday? Okay, some of us, even Monday morning at 7 o'clock. And what was my purpose again? Because we're not abiding in the Word. Look, he even says there that Jesus Christ, the second part of the Trinity, was abiding in the Father. He chose to do that. Why? Because his purpose could not be satisfied unless he did that. So entering into this aspect. And then he goes on to note that he starts the first part of chapter 15, 1 through 10. He goes and talks about the relationship of abiding. And then as you move on to verses 12 through 17, he says, if you abide in me, then you have the ability to have a relationship with one another. And then as you go beyond that from 18 to 27, and then you'll be able to reveal myself to the world. But it all starts by a habitation of the Holy Spirit and finding your purpose in that habitation. So our purpose today. What's our purpose today? A couple scriptures I'll give you to think about. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. To love others and reveal Christ. That sounds so simple. But if I look at it as a purpose, remember a purpose is the reason that we do something. The reason, the purpose of something was designed. So I am designed with a purpose to love people and reveal Christ to them. In only certain circumstances. No, that's not what it says. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go. My purpose is to go. Now, before we get onto this place where people immediately think, that means I'm supposed to be a missionary. Look, a plane trip makes you no more a missionary than a garage makes you a car. Go next door. Go to the person down the hall from your work. I just want to share this. So I've worked for the same company now for 20 years. I have never had more opportunity to share the gospel than right where I'm at. I've had people say to me, well, don't you wish you worked at the church? No, I'd be surrounded by Christians. Nothing against people who work here. Love you. Go. And he says go. And the interesting part about that, if you read before that, when he says go into all the world, he says, why can you go with a purpose? He says, because all power has been given to me. And I am preparing you. I am giving you the ability to have purpose. I'm not just saying I want you to go to a Bible college class, as Pastor Emmett shared. I don't want you just to do this and then like check a box. No, I want you to go with a purpose. I want you to say, like, I want to be able to love like Jesus has called me to love. Let's go even further. I want to be able to love like Jesus Christ has loved me. Many times, the world robs you of that simplicity of understanding. Love. Go. Share like the love of Christ has done for you. The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, Jesus says, another purpose you have is to be salt and light. Is it just me, or is anybody during the pandemic, when you go to a restaurant, can somebody just give me a salt shaker? You go in, it's like, no salt and pepper. Get all nervous. Can I get some salt and pepper? Oh, how many would you like? I don't know. Is there a shortage of packets? Just give me some salt and pepper. But he says, be salt and light. Why? Because look, man, the world has got a lot of spices out there. But none of them preserve like the love of Christ preserves. And there are millions of people that are still groping at noonday because they don't have light. And we have the opportunity to be that. And we're not a 50-pound bag of rock salt, and we're not a big spotlight in people's eyes. That's not what it means. It means I want you to reveal the gentleness of Jesus Christ that was meek and lowly of mind. That was part of our purpose. And then finally, part of our purpose is this in John chapter 13, verse 34, to love. But a new commandment. It's a new commandment. Jesus is saying, I want you to take everything, and Pastor just shared on this recently. I want you to take everything you understand about love, and I want you to put it on the side, and I want you to look at me. And let this be the standard of love. That you love in a new way. To have a purpose. Now think about this. Back in the day, not my day, but back beyond my day, they used to wash clothes on rocks. No, I'm just kidding. They used to wash clothes with a washboard, right? And when you washboard, you would put it on there and you would scrub and you would scrub and you would scrub and then you would look and you'd wring it out and then you scrub it some more. And it took a lot of effort. And finding that purpose took a lot of effort. And the purpose was the same. Let's get these clothes clean. And then one day, technology came along, and they had a washing machine. Same purpose. A lot less effort. Many of us today are trying to find our purpose, and we're scrubbing, and we're scrubbing. And Jesus said, it's finished. The work has been done. You can find your purpose without scrubbing. And the longer, I want you to think about this with me, the longer that you say, you know, oh God, I'm sorry I did that. I'll never do that again. Look, scrub, scrub, scrub. It's been done. And he says, I want you to find your purpose in the work that's already been completed for you. It is finished. That's the beauty of John 19, 30. The work was already accomplished. Well, think about this with me this morning, church. When we live in our purpose in his finished work, his purpose is accomplished in us and through us. Much has been said about what I want to do for God today. But instead, it should be, how can I just experience the life of Christ and reveal that to somebody else, finding my purpose? Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here at this point, Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he is he's giving him some marching orders, as it was, as Paul's ready to leave. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. That means this, when it's convenient and when it's not. When circumstances work out and when they don't. When you celebrate life and you mourn death, be prepared to live in your purpose of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. I don't know about you, church, but I'm messed up enough. I don't need to come here and have somebody agree with me. I don't want somebody to agree. Yep, you're right. Whatever you say, you're right. What you think is true. I want the Word of God to be enlightened and to enhance the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to. And they will turn away, in verse 4, their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And then he says this. This is a man who lived in purpose. For I am ready to already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. For I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. And in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul's purpose was realized in his steadfast obedience. He says in Philippians 4, it doesn't matter what state I'm in. My circumstances doesn't affect my purpose. My circumstances, whether I'm abounding or whether I'm abased, whether I have much and everything is going Jim Dandy, or whether there is everything that could go wrong goes wrong. Doesn't matter. I have fought the good fight. He lived in his purpose, not wavered by circumstance. He didn't get confused by outward accolades or accomplishments, but he learned his contentment through purpose of Jesus Christ. Today, I just want you to think with me that the ability that we have, think about your abilities today. What could I do? Well, in our flesh, my son shared a song with me yesterday that really blessed me. It just spoke about, it was called Hosanna, and it spoke about with the reeds, we take these reeds and we cry Hosanna. With our hands, we lay these reeds down, and then also with these hands, we weave a crown of thorns. With our words, we praise you, but we also mock you. That's in our flesh. But in our purpose, before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because in our purpose, from the one who said, because all power has been given to me. I'm not kicking you out going, hey, good luck. I'm sending you out with this preemptive, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Jesus said this. He says, I do nothing of my own accord. Even Jesus had a purpose that was driven simply by the Father. What could we do today? What is your purpose? My purpose is to listen. I would just challenge us today, church. Listen. Just listen. Not to me. Listen to what God is saying to you. Read the Word. Allow that to speak to you. The Word, not Facebook, the Word. There are many things that I've seen posted, like Jesus said. Jesus didn't say that. And listen. Think about that night when he was in Gethsemane and everybody had forsaken him. And yet his purpose was the same. The sins of all mankind about to be laid upon him had every opportunity to walk away. And even when he was on the cross, they mocked and said, you could call legions of angels and they'll pull you off the cross. Look, today I don't claim to know in detail my purpose. I just have a deep desire to continue to follow hard after it and have the Spirit of God reveal new aspects of my purpose each and every day. Reveal it through people that he puts in my path. Reveal it in opportunities that he opens up. But if I look at things just as a callous level in life, how many things will I miss? How many opportunities will I miss? How many times will I use the words, oh, that was no big deal. I mean, it was just fill in the blank. And yet God has meant it to give me the opportunity to reveal love in a fresh way to somebody else. I want to close with just this story. There's a woman who had this cat. Those of you who are cat lovers, it's all good. Not sure what. No, I'm just kidding. No, she had a cat, and she loved this cat, man. She just adored this cat, and she was going to go on vacation for 2 weeks. So she told her husband, now you don't let anything happen to my cat. And so he, okay, dear. So she went on vacation, and like 2 days after she left, he couldn't take the cat anymore. So he took the cat. Now, those of you about ready to throw things at me, it's just a story. He took the cat, and he went down to the shipyard, and he put it on a boat. And the boat took off. Never to see that cat again. The end. I'm just kidding. And then she came back and she was like, where's my cat? He goes, I don't really know. And she said, what do you mean you don't know? He was here when I left and now he's gone. You got to find my cat. It's my favorite cat. I can't live without my cat. What's the problem? And he said, I tell you what, I'm going to put an ad in the paper. And we'll see if we can find the cat. So he puts an ad in the paper. Lost cat, picture of the cat. If you can find this cat, I will pay you $5,000. I don't know if anybody's bought a cat recently, but Pretty sure you can get one for free. $5,000. She goes, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. I hope we can find him. Now, you would say, this sounds deceptive. Well, the guy goes to work, and the guy at work says, what are you doing, man? $5,000. You're going to pay $5,000 if somebody finds that cat? And he says this, if you knew what I know, you'd be willing to put any number down on the paper. Now you say, that's deceptive. No, I want to spin that around. When it comes to purpose in my life, if you know what I know, according to this book, you'd be willing to invest anything. If you've seen the changes that God's made in my life, there's nothing too great. If you understand the price that was paid, if you've watched lives go, and I just look through this group of people here and the people that invest in people. And if you knew what I know, there's nothing too great to invest. So this morning, as we just think about this week and the words that God speaks to you in your time of devotion, don't put any prerequisites on your purpose in life. Allow the Holy Spirit to maybe renew that through a habitation of fellowship and abiding in Him and abiding in His words and having that reveal. One of the greatest things that I love is reading a verse or a scripture that I grew up with and go, man, I never knew it said that. Purpose in Christ. Father, today, we thank you that today we have the privilege of having a purpose outside of accomplishment, a purpose outside of large numbers, a purpose outside of outward accolades, a purpose today that is unshaken, just as your purpose in sending your Son. We thank you, Lord, that your Son came and that he wasn't shaken by outward circumstance. We're thankful today that he loved us in spite of ourselves. We're thankful today, Lord, that we have the ability to live in new life. That the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead on that third day dwells in our mortal bodies, and we have the ability to reveal the love, the life, and the mercy of Jesus Christ through our purpose in Him. And we just thank you for each one here today. We do pray again for Rick and Becky and Katie and the kids. Lord, we thank you for Martine's life. We thank you for his testimony, his soft spirit, his desire to win the lost. Lord, we just think how many people can be raised up because of his life for Latin America. And we just thank you and we praise you for them. Comfort them today, we pray. Be with us now as we go, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming.